episode 9 of GRCast. I'm Joe Ryan, your host, and joining me today in the studio, we have Matt Graukat.
Hello again.
And internet famous Marcus Beard.
Hey, how's it going, everyone? Going good.
I think we're going to kick it off as we always do, talking about some games, and we may as well start with Marcus, I think.
Hey, well, what I've been playing this week is because I'm not one who really buys new games, so I've been kind of left out of the whole Last of Us hype. So I've been picking up the Vita, and because the new PS Plus has rolled over, are you guys subscribed to the PlayStation Plus thing?
Yeah, of course, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I just renewed that. Yeah, definitely. And I just got that. And so Rayman Origins has just come to the Vita. I know that's a really old game, but I never got around to buying it. And it's so much fun. Like, it's a really, really good platformer.
That's the first game that I got with the Vita, actually, and it shows off the screen so well. It's an absolutely beautiful game.
Yeah, like, it's really, really colourful and vibrant and bright, and it's surprising for a game that's so kind of, like, heavily based on the hand-drawn, you know, the hand-drawnness of it. It's got really, really strong physics in it, which I find really cool. Like, it kind of reminds me of Loco Roco meets N+. Kind of feels like that. Have you played it, Joe?
I've not. Since they first showed it, I had wanted to base solely on the art because I really like that hand-drawn style, but I don't think I've ever played a Rayman game at all.
Because I remember playing the original one back on the PS1 and in that era, but this is entirely different. Like, I guess they're both platformers, but they're not in the same ballpark at all.
I should try it. I don't know why I haven't. I've wanted to. I wanted to get it at some point for PS3 or whatever, so me and my wife could both play it together. That seems like something that we would probably both enjoy.
Yeah, like, that's the thing. I think it works best as a co-op game, because I'm playing it on my own, and I know that when I die, if there was another player, all they'd have to do is, run through me, and I'd instantly be revived. So it's kind of frustrating sometimes if you're playing on your own. It's way better if you're with more than one player.
I count by being awesome and not dying.
Well, that's fine for you then.
I wonder if that's a tough balance when you're making a game like that, like a platform or whatever. How do you balance it for a single person can play it without thinking this is bullshit, but without making it too easy for a second player just able to automatically revive you every time you die? I don't know how you walk that line.
Yeah. That's the thing. Like, it feels like the single player and the multiple levels, I think they're exactly the same. I don't know how it works in something like New Super Mario Brothers. I guess that's a different kind of platform where it's much less challenging, but it's weird.
I think there probably comes a point where the developers presume that people who are playing alone are kind of core platform gamers who perhaps are going back to the original Mario Bros. And games that were harder. At the beginning of the 90s and the late 80s at the very least, whereas people that are co-op are perhaps playing with family or, you know, that sort of thing. Perhaps they just presume that there's that to balance it out.
Yeah, we have enough free time to actually practice our platforming skills because we're that cool.
With that said, there are a few levels in that game that are incredibly frustrating where you have to get the timing perfect if you want to get through it.
But yeah, that's what I've been playing mainly. I also I've finished it before, but I finished off Snake Eater again this week on the Vita, which was good. Again, getting psyched for Metal Gear Solid 5. But yeah, not really playing any new games because I can't afford them. I want to hear what Last of Us was like.
I'll make sure to talk about The Last of Us at length when we get towards the end. I'm pretty excited about Metal Gear Solid 5, which is stupid because every time a Metal Gear game comes out, I play it and then I end up annoyed, as you may remember from the old days. But I feel like Metal Gear 5 looked so good that it has ruined Matt for other games. Like, every time I mention anything about any game to him, he's like, stupid compared to Metal Gear 5. I just saw the trailer again, and it's like, that game looks amazing compared to the stupid fucking game you're talking about.
In all fairness, you were talking about some little iOS game, or... No, it wasn't that, was it? What were you talking about when you were saying that? Was it The Walking Dead? It was something story-based.
Yeah, it was The Walking Dead. And I'm sorry, but The Walking Dead by Telltale is going to have a better and more coherent story than Metal Gear 5. And that's all there is to it.
We are going to get to that in a minute. It's on. We are going to fight this out. It's been coming all week.
Right, I want to hear this happen.
The Metal Gear discussions and arguments we have had, this is a running joke, but for like the past 4 years now, it's not even a joke. I actually get upset.
I do remember, I can't remember when they introduced it, but it was about, it wasn't that long ago, it was only about 6 months ago when they announced trophies for Metal Gear Solid 5. And I just remember like 3 years ago, Matt was going crazy, and he thought every E3 announcement was going to be trophies for Metal Gear Solid 4. Sorry, I said 5 before, I meant 4.
You know, the problem with that, and it was a problem with a lot of games at the time, was that they knew that people weren't going to buy their game if they confirmed, okay, we're not working on trophies. And it didn't matter for Infinity Ward. They came out and they said, we are not working on trophies for Call of Duty 4. Get over it. But, you know, I remember specifically Sega with Valkyria Chronicles and Konami with Metal Gear Solid 4 said, why don't you wait? Wait until this E3. We might have an announcement. And they did this for about 4 years, every single time anyone asked about anything.
So I'm just so surprised they actually did it.
It was for the 5th anniversary, I think.
Oh, that was it. Yeah, it's because they're about to... Yeah, they did that, and then they're going to release all the titles in one sort of coherent box.
Yeah, that's right. You know, probably, and I mean, trophies were great. I really enjoyed playing through the game more than once to get most of them, but there was one that required you get every single emblem, which meant that not only did you have to get the highest, the best emblem, which I believe is the boss or Foxhound, I can't remember which one's better in Metal Gear Solid 4, but that means that you have to do it in like 6 hours, you don't get seen, you don't get killed, you don't use any items. You can save as much as you like now, but it's stupidly difficult. But it also meant that you get the worst emblem, which meant that you had to play more than 40 hours, that you had to spend 2 hours of that in a box, that you had to spend 2 hours of that leaning up against a wall, that you had to kill 500 people, that you had to die 50 times. And it just, you know, I could have done the hardest one, but I just looked at the 40-hour one and just thought, that is too much of a challenge. That is just
that
stupidly
terrible.
Difficult.
Yeah, so they waited 5 years to put trophies into this game everybody's been asking for trophies for, and then they make 90% of them the most tedious horseshit they could think of.
No, most of it's easy. It's one gold or two golds that you need to muck about with that for. And it's pretty annoying to look at my trophies and see that I've got like 80% except for those two golds. But I'm never going to get it because I have no interest in rolling around in a fucking barrel for years at an end.
See, to me, that's why I hate things like trophies and achievements a lot of the time, is because they're not incentivizing fun play in some cases. It's one thing if they make something really challenging, and it's like, when you beat it, you can say, yeah, look at that fucking trophy I got. I did something that most people can't do or won't do or whatever, because it was something difficult, and I had to practice it and work at it. But when if I see someone has a platinum for that game, and that means that they just stood in place for like 40 hours, put a box on, leaned up against a wall, smoke a cigarette, like kick a monkey in the diaper up the ass or whatever. Fuck you. Go play a game that's fun. Do something with your life, like build a canoe out of a fallen tree or something. Anything. I don't care, but don't do that.
The Joe Ryan way.
I do wonder how important like achievements and trophies are going to be in the next gen, because if everything's going to be constantly recording and you can DVR the Xbox and the PlayStation 4, kind of all your achievements can be, look, here's what I actually did. And like, already I don't care about the number next to my gamertag anymore, because it's just too large.
You know, I mean, with trophies and achievements, further to what Joe said earlier, you've got to remember that like 10% of people finish their games. So to extend that, you've got to kind of think that anything you do beyond finishing the game is technically an achievement. It might be easy, but you are in the vast minority for doing it. And Marcus, I mean, yeah, that's true. I know that with the Xbox One, every time you get an achievement, it records what you've done, basically. And that's great, but with the Xbox One, and I'm sure Sony are going to do it as well, they're introducing a new thing called Challenges, which some games have been able to do individually.
Yeah, that looks really exciting, actually.
Yeah, but this, they include everything. So they could technically say, okay, for this challenge, kill 1,000 enemies this weekend. And for that weekend, in no matter what game you play, your kills will count towards that challenge. Or they could do group challenges where the community has to get 1 million kills. Now, to someone that's not interested in trophies and achievements, they might not care about that, but for those of us that enjoy that's a whole new way of experiencing this kind of very social thing.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me of the stuff they did in Halo Reach, and I'm sure they've done in a lot of games. But I remember Halo had like every week they'd have different challenges and like way to kill people, and that was actually quite engaging. I was going to say, tying that to the gamer score, seems like if you can change or add or take away achievements to a game, it feels like it kind of devalues the point of the set in stone score. So I'm a bit kind of interested to see how that's going to work logistically.
A lot of that stuff won't actually count towards your gamer score. I don't know if they're going to have a
Oh,
different
cool.
thing, but it will have an individual logo on your profile. It will be
That's
represented
cool.
there.
All right, Matt, you need to talk about whatever you want to talk about that's not The Walking Dead, because then we need to argue about The Walking Dead.
Okay. This week I have been playing a couple of games aside from The Walking Dead. The first is that I got into the Final Fantasy 14 A Realm Reborn beta, just like everyone else, and it was pretty good. And everyone's turning around and saying, well, it was pretty good, which is a huge surprise considering that they basically released a game that was universally panned and they've rebuilt it from scratch. There's some similar locations, but apart from that, it's practically a whole new game, and it's a shame on one level because this whole new game is basically World of Warcraft with better graphics. But it's also nice that they're managing to impress so many people. There was 1.5 million people in the beta, and I've yet to hear a single bad thing.
When you are an MMO developer like that, at what point do you just call it quits? I mean, when Final Fantasy XIV came out, like you said, everyone hated it. Like, maybe the most staunch Final Fantasy, like Japanophiles or whatever, thought that game was good, but it wasn't. It was actually terrible, and nobody wanted to play it. It was garbage. And then I can't believe they turned around and said, "Well, that sucked. We made about $3. Let's throw that in the bin and rebuild the whole game from the bottom up, and then we'll release it again." Like, who thinks that that's a wise choice? How is that a good investment for all the money that you make doing whatever the hell else it is that you do?
I think there's two things that are special in this case that wouldn't have happened anywhere else. First of all, it's Square Enix and it's Final Fantasy. You know, I mean, they do not want a crap game. I know a lot of people will go on about Final Fantasy 12 or Final Fantasy 13 and say those games were terrible, but they were still quite good. The graphics were there, the cutscenes were there, the story was at worst passable, you know. They were decent entries in the franchise. They don't want a game that has like a 30 Metacritic score, you know. And secondly, they had Final Fantasy XI, which is still a hit. They're still selling DLC for it and expansion packs for it. There's still people subscribing. They know that they are going to be supporting Final Fantasy 14 for the best part of a decade, and that it will eventually pay for itself if they support it for long enough. And that's fair enough, I guess. I don't think any other developer would be able to do that and would be able to say, we're going to support it for this long.
Speaking of Final Fantasy XI, there's another game that's absolute garbage. a lot of people will probably disagree. I thought it looked cool in a world before World of Warcraft existed, but I'd never properly played it. I liked the idea of it. And then after I had played Warcraft, probably the first time I got bored with it after playing a year and a half, I was like, well, what other game should I try? Final Fantasy XI, let's try this. Terrible. And it's so convoluted. Ugh. And the fact that you can. So for some people, I know this raises the stakes. I like consequence in games, but when I have to fight all day long, A, to learn how to play your stupid game because it's nonsense, and then I finally kill some enemies and gain some experience, only to turn around, get killed by a monster, and have that all taken away, fuck that noise. I'm not playing it anymore.
There's a very special sort of MMO fan that basically wants to go out with a couple of friends into a fantasy world and kill a bunch of stuff. And it's very well catered for in kind of pre-World of Warcraft things, and now in Korean MMOs, that is the sort of people that sounds like it was made for. But Final Fantasy 14 seems completely different. I think that it sounds like it'd be more up your alley than that was anyway. It's just a shame to me, it's not innovated very much. It does feel very much like a standard MMO, a bit like the Old Republic was. It feels like they've done the basics very well and then gone, well, it worked for World of Warcraft. On top of that, I've been playing an iOS game called Shelter. It's a zombie-themed card game. It was created by one person, I think. He did everything, the artwork, everything. And it's pretty good. There's a review. I'm going to write that up this evening, so it'll probably be up on the site by the time this comes out. It's a little repetitive. It's a little text-heavy. There's not enough diversity in the actual game to keep you going for hours and hours and hours. But for card fans who want something new, it's very well presented. It's quite good fun. Joe, you'd go mad for it.
And I'm sure he is.
Just showing me the art last night made me want to buy it, and I may do at some point in the near future.
Basically, the game board, I suppose, is split into two. There's a zombies coming from one side and then a barrier in the middle, and then you place your cards on your side. And you can have various types of guns. You can have cards that strengthen your armor or strengthen the barrier. And the goal is to basically destroy all the zombies. From what I've played so far, you can be a bit overwhelmed. There's too many zombies straight from the get-go, which makes it not exactly difficult, but long-winded. You feel like you've done everything straight away, more or less. And that's a fairly big problem. But aside from that, it seems very well balanced. It seems very fun. And then, of course, this weekend I finished Walking Dead. Ask me what I think of that,
Hooray!
Joe.
How did you feel about the Walking Dead Telltale game, man? One of the best games created last year.
You know what? I really, really enjoyed it. I enjoyed every second of it up until the last kind of 20 minutes when it went very, very silly. But then I went on like a Walking Dead wiki and actually read through the differences that my choices would have made. And it was a big mistake because I learned that basically they made no difference whatsoever, which was hugely frustrating considering that I felt like I could have saved people or that their lives really did depend on my decisions. And no, people died at exactly the same place, maybe a little bit earlier. I basically got them to a point and then let them die, no matter what happened. And that was hugely frustrating.
Did it connect with you or something?
It won the awards because basically the ending, which we'll get to in a minute, I think, it was another one of those things where people were enjoying the game so much that they rushed the review perhaps, or they decided it was good based on a short play. I don't know. Maybe they're just not looking into it as deeply as I am. But, it deserved high scores and it deserved the acclaim that it got. But for me, it got kind of ruined by those two facts.
I would counter that point by saying when I had that exact same complaint about Heavy Rain that I looked afterwards and found out none of my choices mattered, you told me that I was stupid and it didn't matter because that game was so great.
That's not true. I said that Heavy Rain was it was disappointing that nothing mattered until the end. Whereas in this, nothing mattered at all. I think would be the biggest distinction. You could save either the journalist or the fat guy in the store at the beginning, but it didn't matter because they died anyway. It just the what you did on the way to get there, it changed some dialogue. That was it.
Does it matter though? I mean, if you, I mean, obviously it does, but if you hadn't looked up all the different choices and stuff, like the way I played it, I didn't look up any other choices. I just felt like the choices I made led fairly naturally to, the outcome that I got from it.
But that's because it was a linear story. It didn't matter to me. It didn't matter to me that the choices didn't matter necessarily, but rather that I'd felt like they did. I felt like I'd done the things that I'd made the decisions that had led us into certain situations, and by doing so, I had to live with what had happened, kind of like the character Lee or any of the characters from the TV series or comics. And that was a great thing that Telltale did. But it's pretend, it's a mask for a very linear story with maybe some different characters following you along the way.
I don't know. I still liked it. I liked every little bit of it. I the choices thing, like because I felt like my choices were having the consequences I expected, it didn't matter. It doesn't matter to me now, even to find out that that isn't necessarily the case, because the story that I made was still my story. It's just a choose your own adventure, more or less. In the end, it's always gonna say the end, and you're gonna, if you want to see
Without
something
the
different, go
choices.
back again.
Yeah, that wouldn't be, like I said earlier, it's still a 8.5 rated game. It was very strong. The storytelling was very good. It was a little, there wasn't much in the way of puzzles to do. It was mostly dialogue, which was unusual for a Telltale game, but it worked. It was still a very strong game, but I feel people might have got a little overexcited by it. Partly because I do wonder if they beat it once and then went, my God, my choices there made so much difference. Or maybe, like they say, they just enjoyed the story. But, and the ending, we spoke about this the other night, Joe. I didn't think much of the ending. I thought it was a little underwhelming. Why do people get excited about this ending, Joe?
To be honest, I don't know. Did people? I don't remember. Because I specifically avoided reading anything about
A
it.
lot.
I didn't want it spoiled.
People went pretty well. There was a lot on Reddit about it, a lot on N4G about it. People seemed to enjoy the ending. They seemed to get really emotional about it, and I didn't really get that, especially after the lackluster kind of conclusion, where the guy you'd been speaking to, he was just he'd just left a car somewhere with some food in it, and you happened to walk by and take a little. So he killed all your friends, basically. And made your life a living hell and kidnapped a little girl because that seems like a fair way of dealing with some food going missing.
Right, I actually, he made me feel bad a little bit at first, but then it turned out this is one of my disappointments of the final episode, was that he ended up just being a maniac. Like, he had like a, I don't think it's a spoiler to say he had his wife's zombie head in a bag and he was like talking to it. I think it would have been stronger if he had been just a guy who you had screwed over and he thought he was legitimately doing the right thing by taking that kid away. And then you had to kill him anyway or whatever and just be like a real shithead. Because I
That's
felt
it.
bad
So I
about it.
was.
When he was sitting there talking to me, I was like, God, this is just some guy who maybe has a good point and like maybe he's right. And then all of a sudden he's like, oh no, he's just another maniac. Okay, I don't feel bad about killing him now.
Because the problem was you'd fought your way up to the town, which I suppose is some sort of metaphor for the connection between Lee and Clem. You'd overcome hardship after hardship. You'd walk through a whole group, thousands of zombies. Each scene had Lee getting gradually whiter. He started that episode as a black man. He ended it as a white man. It was just the worst graphics. But then, we're supposed to be surprised that in the end he gets ill. Were you that hopeful for him? I don't know. The ending seemed lackluster for me. The whole last half an hour, everything before that was very, very strong, unless you counter in the fact that your decisions didn't make anything. But don't get too excited about the ending, I guess.
Yeah, I guess the ending to me, I mean it was fine, but I didn't, if people thought there was like a twist, I didn't feel that way. I feel like I knew what was coming. It had to happen, so I don't know. I didn't it, I liked it. It didn't bother me a bit, but I also didn't think that's the most amazing ending I've ever seen. It was just like, okay, huh, I wonder what happens in season 2 now. And, you know, I'll be interested to find out what happens in 400 days also.
I think that's the other part of the problem for me. I was so excited for season two until I saw the ending, and I realized there are no longer any characters that I'm interested in for the second season. Clem, I guess, and I'm not even that interested there. So what's the point in me rushing to buy each episode when it comes out?
You're crazy, because that little girl is awesome.
Fair enough.
I don't know. Maybe it's like when, if you have a child of your own, you just automatically put them in your brain into that situation or whatever. Like, maybe Clem is like the analog for my daughter in that game, so I just automatically go, all right, I'm going to take care of this kid no matter what. And it was a whole different thing for me.
Yeah, that would have affected me. I'd have been shocked if the kid had been bitten and died. That would have been awesome, actually. They should have done that. But the fact that the grown-up died...
Yeah, we should have put a spoiler warning ahead of this, but too late now. It's, you know, don't have to play Walking Dead anymore. You still should. Everybody should.
So, Joe, how did you find the Last of Us?
I will tell you in a minute. There are other things I need to talk about that are equally important first. And that thing I need to talk about is the Dead Linger Alpha that I have been into, which is a, well, it's sort of the theme. It's like a zombie apocalypse PC game. It's a first-person survival type game or whatever, where you just spawn into this world. It's a procedurally generated world, sort of like Minecraft or whatever, except the graphics are pretty, I don't know. I'm a bad judge because for my laptop to run it, I'm running it on like 800 by 600 or something, so it looks a little chunky. I've seen people with good computers running it, and like the graphics are surprisingly good for an alpha. They're just a little sparse. There's not like a ton going on. But basically, you just spawn into this world, you've got nothing, and then you just, as of right now, you just kind of walk around. Like, every time I've spawned in, I've been near a suburb, so I just go into the suburb, I start going in these houses and looking for, like, gear and equipment to use, and then, you know, surviving for as long as you can. And the stuff that they have added already since the beginning and are going to add by the end, if you look at their, like, development roadmap on their website, this game is going to be the game I have always wanted. Like, everything... Even just now, in the most recent update, they added that if you find a hammer somewhere, and they're, it's not hard to find, they're all over the place, and then you find, like, a pile of 2x4s, like, you go into somebody's garage, and at this point, garages don't have garage doors or, like, proper cement floors. It's just grass in there, because, like I said, it's really early. But some of them will have, like, a bunch of building material sitting in there, like long boards or big flat pieces of wood. If you pick those up, you can rotate them around with the mouse by, like, holding right-click or whatever. And then you can hold them up to any surface, and if you do a melee attack with the hammer in your hand, it nails it onto there. So you can start building structures or barricading houses. Like, I barricaded all the doors and windows except for one on this one house, and then I built this little ramp to where I can walk up and through a second floor window, and that's the only entrance unless zombies want to come up and try to rip down all the boards that I've nailed over the doors and windows on the bottom floor.
That sounds really cool.
That sounds amazing, to the point where you decide, okay, the easiest thing for me right now is to just barricade a house, not come out, and then you realize that you've beat the game. Basically, you've protected yourself so well that there is now no threat whatsoever from the zombies. You can just sit in a dark room, look outside occasionally. That's your game.
Could you try and build a house around the zombies rather than putting yourself in?
That, I don't know. Zombie farm? That's a great idea. I know that there are farms out in the wilderness somewhere. I haven't found one yet. to your point, Matt, that wouldn't quite work because you will starve to death if you just try to sit there without going out and finding food and, like, building a stockpile of things. So you're never totally safe to where you can just hang out. Like, there's always something happening. I would say it's one of the truest survival games I've ever played. I almost wonder if you get hungry too fast, because there are times where it's like, my God, I'm getting so hungry that my vision's going a little blurry and I'm trying to run from zombies and my guy's, like, stumbling sideways like an idiot or whatever. I mean, it's an alpha. It'll need some tweaking and everything. But It's got RPG elements where you can find different, like, I found a pair of Nikes or something, and I just, like, popped the Nikes on, and then I could jump higher. The little flavor text or something for the item said, with these on, even white men can jump, which I got a little chuckle out of, even though it's, you know, a pretty pretty base-level joke. I laughed anyway. But so different pieces of equipment you find can do different things. I think I found, like, a hoodie or something that gave me maybe it was more health or a resistance to being grabbed by zombies or something. And they've got – there's a lot of systems going on. They've got a stamina thing. I'm not sure if swinging a melee weapon uses stamina or not. Maybe it would make sense. I know running certainly does. They've got the hunger meter thing or whatever, so if you have to eat every so often or you're going to starve to death. If you get bitten, you have an infection meter that even if you escape, like, you can continue to get infected until you just die from that. I'm not even 100% sure how to take care of that. I'm sure there's a way to do it. But they have talked about on their development roadmap, if you look, there's, like, they're going to be adding vehicles. And to me, one of the coolest things I mentioned was that if you get, like, a car, you can just pop open the trunk and throw guns or throw whatever you want into the trunk. It's not like it opens an inventory system. It'll just be a real space in the game world that will be able to be filled with things as long as you can stuff them in there or whatever, which is pretty neat, I thought.
I love that. That's awesome.
This does sound fantastic. It seems like they're doing a great job.
Yeah, they've, like I said, the most recent update to the alpha was called Blood, Sweat, and Tears, and that was when they started adding the ability to, like, take boards and nail them up on things. If you have an axe, you can cut down trees a little bit like Minecraft, which essentially just it turns into a bunch of boards and stuff you can then use to, like, build your own little shelter or fortify what's already there. So, you know, it's an alpha, so there are things that are weird about it. If you're going into this game and you expect this is going to be, like, a great AAA game or whatever, you're going to be really disappointed when, like, all the zombies are basically just a placeholder right now. They all look exactly the same. It's like a pale person with a little bit of red on their face in a black shirt and jeans, and that's just how they all look. There's a lot of times where they'll end up sliding around instead of doing the walking animation properly, and at the moment there's no gore, and they don't model any of the damage on them. Those are two big things they're planning on adding later, along with dismemberment and everything. But you actually have to, you know, shoot them or smack them in the head to kill them. If you shoot them anywhere else, it doesn't do anything. So I think it's going to be a really good, maybe the best sort of zombie survival simulator. It sounds like they're just making the game we've always wanted, and they're letting us play the alpha and make suggestions or whatever, sort of a piece at a time. By the end, if they even accomplish half of what their goals are, it's going to be amazing. I'm trying to think of other cool stuff about this game. I don't know. I like it. Right now, it's really sparse. Like, if you go into a house, there's no real decorations in the house. If there's going to be, like, guns or stuff to use, they're pretty much just, like, sitting on the floor. Like, you walk into a bedroom and there's just a shotgun and a box of ammo laying next to the window or whatever. So, but there is...
Is that not realistic?
Well, you know, they said it's based on Anywhere
is.
America, so maybe. There might be people whose houses are just left like that. But there are things I did in that game that were so natural, like I didn't think about it. At one point, I was running from zombies, and I ran into a house. I closed the door behind myself, and I thought, oh, they're going to get me. So I just walked over to the living room, and I grabbed a couch, and I slid it in front of the door so that they couldn't open it. And it wasn't until I was done doing that that I thought, hey, I just slid a couch in front of the door, and now they can't open it. Like, it was just what I would do in real life, and I did it in the game without questioning whether it was going to be able to be done or not, and it just worked. It was really cool.
So is this a multiplayer thing as well?
Yes, there is a multiplayer component where you can survive together, and they're going to add more modes. Right now, it's basic. It's just someone sets up a server, and you all load into the same world, and it supports 16 or 32 or however many. But yeah, you can play it together. You have to pay to get into the alpha. It's one of those, they kickstarted it, and now, you know, if you want, you pay your money and you get into the alpha, and then you get all future updates for free, and the alpha is cheaper than the game will be later. It's sort of like the model that Minecraft did.
I wonder how realistic really is, because I think most of us would probably be crying in a corner just waiting to be eaten. Is that an option in the game? Can you do that? Maybe wet yourself a little.
It's possible. I have not found that option yet.
There's not a piss yourself button.
But with all the other stuff they're adding, it wouldn't surprise me if by the end they have a piss yourself button, like a take the easy way out, blow your head off button.
Maybe just build a noose.
That would be cool. I know that they're going to have crafting, and they have. I've read that they have crafting of very basic items right now. Like, you could take a bear trap and combine it with a Molotov and leave it sitting somewhere so that when a zombie steps in it, it not only catches them, it sets the whole area on fire. But yeah, the game is quite awesome. Like I say, if with all the stuff they're adding, they're talking about the one thing that I mentioned or that I read yesterday was that they have a dream where two people could load into the same world. They said the world can procedurally generate up to 64,000 kilometers as it's built, like right now or whatever. So they said two people could spawn in. One person might spawn in the country near a farm, and he'd think, I'm going to go fortify this farm and live here, and I'm going to raise crops and turn this into a whole thing, because they're going to add farming and hunting for food and everything at some point in a later update. And they said another person might spawn near the ocean, which they're going to add, and he might find a boat and say, let's see what's out in the ocean. And he'd jump in the boat, take off out into the ocean, and find, like, an oil platform out there in the ocean where all of the people on board got infected and turned into zombies. So then he clears off the oil platform and just lives there, like, fishing for food and, like, living as a king on an oil platform in the sea or something.
That sounds awesome. That sounds like they're doing some really good work. I'd love to see where it goes from there once they've got all of that in. And on top of that, what other people kind of take from it and build into their own games. It's interesting.
Yeah, there's more exciting stuff going on in the PC space than in consoles, I think, right now. If you go to their website, I think it's just thedeadlinger.com, or you could Google it. You can actually see their development roadmap, where they tell you every single thing that they're planning on doing, and it is a long, long list, and then the percentage that they feel is currently in the game or whatever. So, like, they think that they've got the experience of being a survivor and using your inventory and the health system and everything, like, 50% done. But then other things, like, they say zombies are only, like, 20% done because they're going to add dismemberment and the gore, and there's going to be different types. Well, one, not different types, but different looks of zombies. One of the things I thought was exciting was that they specifically said there will never be any sort of special infected. They feel like that's a cop-out. If regular zombies aren't scary enough, then they haven't made them right. So they're never going to make, like, boomers or tanks or whatever. It's just going to be zombies.
I like that idea. I think it's cool.
So, anyway, check it out. It's great. I like it a lot. Well, before we think about wrapping up sometime in the near future, I need to speak about The Last of Us. I think the time has come.
You've been regretting this. You've been dreading this all week, rather. Yeah, I think you think you're going to be lynched.
Right. If you want to send hate mail, you can send it to podcast@gamesreviews.com. Or you could follow me on Twitter @Joe_Ryan150. And you could tell me how terrible I am on there when I reveal to you that The Last of Us is not as good as everyone says.
There is another option. You could just follow him home, get a big crowd, pitchforks, flames. Just follow him home. It's easier.
Or you could just come to terms with the games are subjective and move on with your life.
God damn it, Marcus.
Like many, so many internet commenters do. None of them do.
Well, don't be so reasonable.
This game is not subjective, though. Like Bioshock, you like it or you're stupid. And it's not that I don't like it. Well, I'm speaking specifically about on the internet. It's just a fact. There are some games that if you don't like them, you're dumb, and the internet will tell you so, and Bioshock is one of them.
That's true. That's very true.
So,
Okay, what's wrong with The Last of Us? Let us know.
Okay, first of all, I have to say, the opening of that game, nobody has talked about it. It's a pretty good surprise. I'm not going to ruin it here or anything.
A quick thing, I have seen practically nothing of this game, so let's keep really light on that spoiler. That spoiler pedal.
Yeah, I'm not going to give you any sort of story spoiler stuff. I'm just going to talk basically about mechanics that I like and don't like. So you're good. The opening is fantastic. Like the first, in my mind, it's like 20 minutes or a half an hour, the opening, and it's probably not nearly that long, but it's so good that I was like, wow, this is really something, largely because it was unexpected, I think. And then you get into sort of what I think of now as Act One, and it's tedious. Here was my biggest problem with the what I'm thinking of as Act One, you know, as I started it. They've made this big deal, I thought, about how when you have to kill somebody in this game, you're going to feel like, I don't know that I want to do this. They're just people or whatever. They're just surviving. They're, you know, it's either them or me, but I feel bad about it. That is a huge lie. I think I'm halfway through that game, and I have never once felt that way, because I have never seen a character who did not go into completely apeshit, I'm going to kill you, like, video game mode as soon as they saw me. There is at no point will you ever feel anything for these people. Especially in Act 1, where you start out, and within, I would say, the first half an hour of Act 1, I had probably killed 30 people already. They made it out like it was going to be, you're going to have to kill rarely, and it's going to have a real weight to it. No, I had just killed like 30 people, like in no time at all. At no point was I ever supposed to feel bad about it, because they were clearly labeled right away, like, these are bad guys. They've done horrible shit or whatever. Like, you just kill them. No big deal. So that was a little overblown, I think, which is frustrating, because that was one of the things I was most excited about. I thought they were going to, like, use the violence sparingly to make it have more weight or more value. I have not found that to be the case.
So if you had to if you had to describe the central mechanics of the game, would you say it was centrally a stealth game or an action game, or something more like Uncharted, like a move around, I guess, kind of like a platformer?
It is, I would say, when it is working right, it is a stealth game more than anything. That's when you're going to have the most fun. I've just gotten into Act 2, basically, and doing stuff as stealthily as possible and against mostly human enemies, that is where it starts to get really good, because, like, you can start to sneak in, you know, you're choking people out. If you're going to choke somebody, it takes a while. It's not as long as it would take in real life, like 10 minutes or whatever. But other people could spot you while you're doing that. You could choose to just shiv someone to death, but shivs are essentially, you can only carry a couple. They're like automatic one-hit kill things, and they break after you use them. And they're also used as lockpicks, so it's kind of, you know, do you want to waste it on this guy just so his friends don't see you or whatever? But when you get to these open areas where you're stealthing around and you can mess with people, like maybe you pop up and fire off a shot and kill one guy, and then you crouch back down and you're able to sneak somewhere else, they'll still be trying to get at you where they saw you shoot that gun, as long as they haven't seen you. So you can set it up to the point where they think you're somewhere that you're not, and then you can start sneaking around and killing them. And that is good. When it gets to that, it's great.
So it sounds like you're never really engaging with more than one enemy at a time. Is that right?
It depends on how well you're sneaking around, for one. Once you fail to sneak, especially against the infected type monsters, this is one of my complaints. I don't think this game is better for having the zombie monsters in it, because the human enemies are quite interesting. They react like humans, you know, they have guns or whatever, they're trying to hide. The zombie dudes, when one of them sees you, he screams, basically alerting everyone, and then all of them just charge at you. No matter how many are in the area, it will bring them all, and you can't hide from them again, that I've found. Like, I've run, I've broken line of sight, I've tried to hide, and they still just run right around the corner. They know right where I am, they don't even care. And as soon as you have about two or three of them around you, your guy stops trying to even fight them. He just sort of crouches over and puts his hands over his head, and unless you hold sprint and try to get away, they will just beat you to death in about 1 second. So I feel like they were put in just as an excuse to kill more people, and they, I don't know, maybe they thought, since killing the humans has such an emotional component, then we want you to be able to kill somebody where you don't have to feel bad about it. But that doesn't work when I don't feel bad about killing the humans anyway, because they're just people who are automatically aggro at you no matter what.
I'm kind of wondering how much of the positive reaction is coming from people that kind of stealth their way through the game without kind of testing the depths of the oh, you'll feel bad if you kill someone. Maybe they just kind of presume, okay, I don't want to kill anyone because that might make me feel bad. That might affect me negatively some way within the game. So they play through just doing the stealth and got to the end and went, that was fantastic. I didn't kill a single person. I felt like if I had a done, then bad things would have happened. And they just didn't really test anything.
To be honest, I don't believe that that's an option. Because there are a lot of times where, in a very video gamey sort of way, you'll enter an area, there'll be like six dudes or whatever, and until you have dealt with them, this isn't every area. In some areas, you can just sneak by or whatever. And believe me, I have tried to every single time. I mean, I barely ever stand from a crouch. It's not like I walk in there ready to fight, because you will die. You are not strong enough to kill a bunch of people. They will beat the shit out of you, especially the monsters. But there are some points where you walk in and, you know, you can use his, like, his hearing or whatever to see people through walls and stuff, which is great, because I would find it impossible to stealth around if I didn't have that ability. But I walk in, there's like, say there's like six or seven dudes, and after I kill them all, then like three more dudes walk in through a door that was previously locked or whatever, and then I have to deal with those three guys and go through the door that they just opened because there was no other way out. So I don't think that just going through this game without killing people is an option. You're going to have to kill a huge, significant number of people.
And there's a lot of people that are kind of writing off things that you've said because they think it's kind of a survival horror game, or at least a survival game on one level. Do you feel that that kind of lets it off? The fact that, you know, Resident Evil was crap, the old games in terms of gameplay were terrible, and that's kind of a trait in the survival horror. Do you feel that that kind of lets it off if you think of it in that way?
Maybe, but I don't really think of it as a survival game, largely because there really isn't any punishment for dying. Like, when you die, it restarts you at the beginning of the encounter, which is usually 30 seconds or a minute. I mean, the autosave system is great. It autosaves all the time, but it also makes it so that there are times where I've been about to die, and instead of thinking, okay, I'm going to use a health kit and survive, I just figure, I'm just going to save my health kit and get killed. I'm going to reset 30 seconds and come at this from a different direction, and then I don't lose any items for it. Like, I feel like once you're thinking that way, you've broken the immersion a little bit. I'm thinking about it like a game, not like a world. I feel like sometimes the immersion is broken. Everybody tells me how immersive this game is, and when it's working really well, like what I was talked about earlier, when I was sneaking around messing with those guys' heads, it was really good. But then there are times where you are sneaking around and you've gone to great lengths to hide from everybody, and then your AI partner or partners just casually walk out, like they're just standing right in the line of sight of an enemy. And of course, the enemy doesn't pay them any mind, because that would be frustrating as shit if your AI partners could alert them or whatever. But I've had times where I've been taking all this trouble to hide, and then like the little girl just walks out, she clips right through an enemy, and then she comes and crouches next to me right where I'm hiding. And it's like they just act like they never saw her, never paid her any mind or whatever. It's like, that's not immersive, friends. That breaks the immersion.
So one last question then. This is a game that has been called the Citizen Kane of the gaming industry. It is supposed to be a game that not only defines this generation, but the industry as a whole. And that's agreed with by an awful lot of people. Do you reckon that that is just because it's just come out and people are excited? Or is that somewhat valid?
If you know what, that might be valid if you read it for what it actually says and not what you think it means. If you think of it as defining games, then yes, it takes what a lot of other games does, you know, and it does it quite well at times. But it's not, it doesn't make me feel differently about other games. I don't sit here and think like this game is so fantastic that it like changes the game for the industry in the future or whatever. In tell I you know I've not seen Citizen Kane the movie, but at any point in that film, do you walk into a gymnasium and then a boss monster busts down the wall with complete with glowing weak points, and then the main character shoots him with a shotgun for about 200 times, thanks to conveniently placed shotgun bullets, until he just falls over dead? Because if that happened in that movie, then I think the comparison is valid.
It had Orson Welles in, and he wasn't looking fantastic, but he wasn't exactly a boss monster, in all fairness.
Well, that part that I just talked about was sort of toward like the end or whatever of Act One, and that annoyed me. It really annoyed me because the boss, he was just huge. I spent all this time looking for like a puzzly way to kill him. If he got anywhere near you, he kills you in one hit. That's a feature of a lot of the sort of advanced stage infection people. If they get near you, you are dead. That is it. They just grab you, toast. So I spent all this time like, okay, obviously I'm not just going to be able to shoot this guy to death. Bullets are fairly limited, as people have mentioned. So it's like, what am I going to do here? I died like 30 times trying to find the secret to it. And then it was like, oh, there's a bunch of shotgun ammo sitting here. Why don't I just try and take my shotgun out and shoot him a bunch of times? And that's what it was. He was just a bullet sponge who, after being shot however many times by the shotgun, he just fell over. And I don't know. That wasn't exactly inspired to me, I don't think. There are these things that are so gamey, and based on what everybody else was saying, I just expected it to be less gamey, I guess, and a little more, I don't know, something more than that. I mean, there are definitely things that are great about it. As I play it more, I like it more. They get cooler stuff. But there are some visual touches that are really good, like the backpack on my back. It shows 90% of the stuff I'm wearing. Like I've got two holsters, I've got two pistols on my hip, I've got a shotgun hanging from the backpack, I've got a baseball bat that I've taped a pair of scissors onto, also there. I've got a bunch of arrows for my bow sticking out of the backpack and everything, so I feel like that's really cool. You look like you're loaded down for the apocalypse, and that's really nice. Those one-hit kills I was talking about by the monsters, seems like it would be frustrating, but actually the way they do it is really good, where as soon as you die, it's basically a quick cut to black. They only show you like the barest hint of horrible violence or whatever. So, like, if one of the clickers gets you, these are monsters that are like blind, but they make a clicking sort of insect noise, and it's like echolocation or whatever. You have to hide from them. If they get you, they'll grab you and they'll lean in and bite your neck, and you see like a split second of him pulling, tendons or whatever out of your neck, and then it just cuts to black. Or like that monster I fought, the one when he got near you, he would just grab you and start pawing at your face, basically. And when he got two fingers in your mouth, he would just rip your jaw downwards. And you see like the skin on his face tear for like a fraction of a second, and then it just cuts. And the fact that it doesn't go too far with the violence makes it much stronger to me, I think. Similarly, the melee combat is very weighty. When you do get into a fight with like the low stage infected or human enemies, I think it's really the camera work and stuff that works so well. Because it's heavy. It feels like you're beating the shit out of some guy, and then you smash his face into the wall, or you stomp on his head or whatever. But like everybody's talking about how it makes you think about violence or whatever. And maybe at first, but after you've smashed like 300 faces into the wall, it's just another thing you do. I sort of thought that there was a point in a demo where a bunch of guys had been coming at him with like baseball bats, and he pointed a gun in their direction and they panicked for a second. They thought like, he's got a gun, maybe we should rethink this. I've been in that exact situation with humans advancing on me with weapons, and I pulled a gun and they did not care. They just kept coming right at me with their baseball bats. So if you maybe I don't know, maybe I did it wrong. Maybe my gun wasn't big enough to scare them or something. Like, I really don't know. But after having seen that bit, I'm expecting it to do something, I there has been one moment that they showed in the E3 demo, however long ago, where I had beaten a bunch of guys and I got down to the last guy, and when I was beating the shit out of him, he fell on the floor and he was like, "Oh, please don't kill me, man," or whatever. But it was like 2 minutes ago he had just been throwing Molotov cocktails in my face, and I think he shot me up the ass with a shotgun once when I was punching his friend to death. So it was like, I don't know. Before he even got done with his little "don't do it, man," I just hit the button and I just kneed him in the face and he fell over dead. So I don't know. I'm not saying this game is terrible, because like I said, it gets better as I play it, and when it works really well. But just based on what I have played, which is about half of the game, My percentage meter says like 52 or 55% or something. It's not a 10, and it certainly is not worth all the 10s that it got. But I suspect from what I have read that the ending leaves such a strong impression on people that if you were to sit down and you thought back and your brain immediately called up the ending you had just played and the opening that was so fantastic, you would think everything about this game was great. I sort of expect that I will feel that way myself. It's nice that we have this record here that we're recording it or whatever, so I remember I felt this way. But like the relationship between the main character and the girl has gotten a little bit better as we've gone. In the first act, there, I feel like there's not a lot of story stuff. They're just frustrating you with shitloads of monsters who seem damn near impossible to sneak past. So if you're really liking the first act, I think you're going to love this game. You're going to love the whole thing because it only gets better from what I've seen.
Can you understand now after all those years of you telling me that the end of BioShock kind of made up for the rest of the game, how frustrating that was?
Yeah, I'm there with you, but I haven't seen the end of Last of Us yet, so I might make a complete switch and think this game is the greatest. If it continues ramping up at a similar pace, then I will think of it as a fantastic game that just has sort of a not a great, you know, first act or whatever. It's just a little tedious. But I don't know. If it ends so strongly that I want to play it again, maybe I'll see something different, or maybe I was just playing it wrong. Maybe I'm stupid. I mean, that would be a fair point if most people were to confront me with that. So, do either of you have any questions about The Last of Us that you want answered? Matt kind of went through a couple there. How about you, Marcus? You want anything you want me to fill you in on?
No, to me, it just kind of feels like I'm kind of getting the same vibes from you as when I played through BioShock Infinite. Like, you can tell it's a good game, it's a well-put-together game. There are some moments in it that are too just gamey, you know, that they've tried to just put, you know, just killing a bunch of enemies into it, and it seems to ruin it. Is that kind of what it feels like?
A little bit. There are definitely areas where you walk in and it's an arena, or, like, you walk into... You come out onto a street, like you go through an alley, you cut through a street, and you see a street that's just like, you know, an empty street, and you think, okay, so obviously there are going to be no enemies here, it's just an empty street. So then I just walk down them, look for supplies. But by the same token, if I come out of an alley and there's a bunch of, like, conveniently placed concrete barriers and things, I just immediately crouch because it's clearly set up for me to hide and avoid gunfire. Like, it's gamey in the same way that... Well, I guess any game is, but...
Yeah, so what's it like graphically? Because one of the reasons I liked a lot of, you know, BioShock Infinite, even though the, you know, the game part elements were a bit weak, was they just looked so amazing. The Last of Us is pretty good in that department, isn't it?
It is. I wouldn't have wanted to start playing it immediately after watching a bunch of next-gen demos at E3, because, I mean, it's not going to quite hold up to that, but... Like, just last night, especially, when I get to this point where I'm just, like, walking down streets in a completely destroyed, like, downtown area of a city, and I don't know how realistically it models some of these cities, but it is really good. The sort of atmosphere, especially when it's just you and the girl walking around and sort of looking at things, is great, and the graphics are a part of that. I don't know that they're the greatest graphics I've ever seen, but, I mean... I sort of feel like BioShock might be the better looking game, but that's because it's so stylized. It's kind of hard to compare the two. I don't look at the graphics and think these are garbage or anything. I mean, I load it up. It's a similar level of fidelity to Uncharted. If you've liked the Uncharted games, this is sort of the next natural half step up from Uncharted 3, I guess.
Yeah. So going on from that, it's Naughty Dog doing what Naughty Dog does well. Would you say that it's a lot of linear areas, some decent fighting, a load of personality, that's it.
Largely, yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's a Naughty Dog game. It's if you expect more than a Naughty Dog game, then you're going to be disappointed. I think if you go in with the right mindset, then maybe you're going to think this game is really, really good. And I'm getting there now. There have been points, especially in the first act, I keep coming back to this first act, I really didn't like it, where... like, it is not as linear as Uncharted. You don't just walk through an area. It's open a little bit because they want you to have a few options for sneaking around. But it's not open enough that you can go, like, way out of your way. But it is open enough that it was not immediately clear to me where the hell I was supposed to be going. So I would just wander around in that area, pissing off the monsters that were stalking around there until it was, like, just trial and error, basically. I finally found, oh, there's, like, I can climb on the hood of this moving van and then on the back of it. And from there, you can see there's a plank that I walk across to get to a garage on the other side of a fence or something. And it's, like, I think in most parts, if you wait long enough, the girl will be like, hey, have you looked at this or whatever? Which is nice, because I'd probably never find my way out of some places if she didn't. But I will have, obviously, more to say about it once the game is finished. I haven't seen anyone mention this game who didn't talk about the ending, which is why I'm sort of thinking the ending is going to leave a great impression. But already my brain is trying to figure out what it's going to be, and I really don't know what they could do that will shock or surprise me. I pretty much have come to expect with games there's going to be some sort of twist, and it's just going to be, I mean, how many twists are there in games? A person dies, everyone dies, you're somebody's dad, whatever. I mean, there's not, what else can they do? If the twist is like at the end, it turns out that the infected people are the real humans and we're actually crazy and we're the monsters or something, then, see, that might surprise me, but now it wouldn't because I just came up with it. Also, it would be a really terrible, stupid fucking twist, so I hope it's not something like that. But, yeah, that's The Last of Us. It's a game. It's a good game, but still it's just a game. If you're expecting it to be the savior of all games, I feel like you are going in with the wrong attitude, perhaps. Well, I think that is it for us, gentlemen.
Perhaps. Could be.
Well, thank you for joining me, Matt and Marcus.
Thank you.
Thanks for the ears in the podcast.
All right. From us here at GRCast, email the show, podcast@gamesreviews.com, to complain about my Last of Us hate or whatever. I know you're just going to say I hate it because that's what the internet does. But if you don't feel like doing that, just stick around for the next episode in about a week or so. And until then, we are done. Thank you.